I won't be long tonight, but I do want to take some time, and I want to just be able to focus our hearts together on the good news of Jesus. No matter how old we get or how many times we walk through this rhythm, this process as families and as communities, as a culture, if we're not intentional about being present and connecting with the deeper gift and the good news of Jesus, then we can be a little bit like those kids who weren't sure when I asked them why we do what we do, right? And we can just be in the midst of it and carried away by it and miss one of the most incredible gifts that ever has been given. And so we're going to take a little time and look at the Isaiah passage. We've been in the book of Isaiah for the last number of weeks as a church, so I want to look at that passage, and we'll look at the gospel passage that Sarah read for a minute too. Why don't you take a minute, get a picture up on the screen that might help, but I want you to imagine yourself in a cold and dark shepherd's field. And I want you to put yourself in that place as the shepherd. And I want you to just think about what that would feel like, to be out in the middle of nowhere with maybe one or two other shepherds and a huge flock of sheep as the sun disappears over the horizon and darkness sets in. Maybe there's the little bit of light from a campfire, but otherwise, it's dark. Maybe for you, as you put yourself in that place and you think about it, you think about maybe something rises in you of a keen sense of caution. And you think about your responsibilities as a shepherd, and one of them that sets in maybe most of all when it gets dark is the role of protection, to guard the sheep. Because everyone knows that it's under the cover of darkness and at night that wolves do their worst, that lions begin to prowl, and you can hear those things, but you can't see them. And so there's this keen sense of caution in the darkness. For newer shepherds, or for those who have maybe had some bad nights recently, it can become a place of real fear and anxiety, can't it? Sitting, wondering, feeling potentially a little bit helpless. But there's something else that might set in for you, and I think probably would for many shepherds in the darkness of the night when the sheep lie down for rest and the day's work is over, and the sun disappears over the horizon, and there's this kind of overwhelming quiet that sets in with it. And there's a peace and a simplicity to the moment. But perhaps in the midst of that quiet and in the place of rest, as you sit back and the day is done and there's no more words to be spoken or tasks to be ordered, your mind begins to wander and the quiet dark becomes a place of contemplation. I've known people in my life who fall asleep to the TV. And they don't do it just because they can't fall asleep otherwise, although after doing it for many years, that could be true. It started because the silence, the quiet, the dark, was a place where the mind started to go and contemplation started to happen. And they didn't want to be in that place. But as we put ourselves in the shepherd's field today, and we come into the darkness and the quiet and the chill of the night, perhaps we could think what it would be like to sit there as a shepherd and to begin to think, to contemplate. And maybe we contemplate the simple things of life and family and sheep and business transactions and what might be coming. But as the night goes on, we begin maybe to think about bigger things and deeper things and potentially, as those who follow Jesus, as those who have heard the prophecies, shepherds sit in this place and they begin to think about Isaiah. Maybe they even quietly begin to talk about the promises that they've heard. And the wonder from deep in their heart begins to stir as to when, if ever, God might fulfill his promises. Isaiah chapter 9, the passage that Mackenzie read for us today, is a prophecy. It's a word from God through his people to people. It's God speaking. And Isaiah, his whole prophecy, but certainly chapter 9, was spoken into very dark times. The people who would have heard this prophecy at first were living in incredibly dark days. But the reality of their life was the days weren't about to get brighter, they were about to get even darker. And so we go to Isaiah chapter 9, and we hear this prophecy spoken out into the dark, both literally, potentially, but for sure metaphorically, into the darkness of life and the world, the brokenness, the need, the longing. God speaks through Isaiah and says this: "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. You have multiplied the nation and increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, and they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden, the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you've broken as on the day of Midian. For every boot of the trampling warrior in battle tumult and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire." An incredible prophecy spoken in to dark times. And notice as you read it, the past tense of the prophecy. The prophet is so confident that God is saying these things that he speaks as if they are sure things. Though they've not come yet, the language isn't that of a guess, it's that of a promise. And so Isaiah says, the people who are in darkness have seen a great light. And then for 700 years, people would wait for that great light. And Isaiah doesn't say, one day we hope. I have a prediction that at some point light is coming into this dark. No, he says, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. When God makes promises, he doesn't soft sell them. He doesn't put trapdoors in them or caveats. He speaks them to us with the full of his heart and a full commitment to fill them. This promise comes into the darkness, and as you read the verses we just read, you see it's a promise that is filled with rejoicing. That the people who have been living in darkness, have been living under oppression, have been fighting through life, are going to rejoice. They're going to experience, the promise says, joy. They're going to experience freedom. How is this possible? And especially in the darkness, it can be incredibly hard even to hear these kinds of words. They may not in the moment even feel encouraging because parts of our hearts might just have a difficult time receiving such good news in such hard places. How? How is this possible? And so Isaiah continues his prophecy, "For to us a child is born. To us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and he shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this." Imagine this prophecy spoke into the darkness of life. As you come tonight to this Christmas Eve service, and as you look forward to tomorrow, and you find yourself certainly in an important day and one that even our culture takes time to pause in, but that pause happens in the midst of very real life. And sometimes that life feels overwhelming. And apart from God, I'm convinced that that life ultimately begins to feel dark. And it's into that darkness that I want us to hear fresh tonight these words of promise. Unto us a child is born, a gift. John 3:16, I just shared it with the children when we talked about gifts. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Into the darkness of your life, hear this promise. A child is coming, a Savior who is Wonderful Counselor. Isn't it amazing to think that in the darkness, there's a Wonderful Counselor coming? Often if we were to describe life or a season or a situation as dark, it's a space where we could use a little advice. That a Wonderful Counselor is coming, a Mighty God. Make no mistake, the promise of Isaiah was for none other than God himself. Unto you a child is born, a Wonderful Counselor, a Mighty God, Everlasting Father. A father who doesn't flake out, a father who doesn't make an error, a father who is always been and will always be Father, a Prince of Peace. Not a Prince of War, not a Prince of Power, a Prince of Peace. And he will establish and uphold the throne of David and his kingdom from this time forth and forevermore. The Promised One is coming. And then Isaiah says at the end of the section we've read these words, the zeal or the passion of the Lord of hosts will do this. Again, this confidence, this isn't a guess or a prediction. This is a promise. It comes directly from the heart of God, and it speaks into a people that desperately long for light to come into their darkness. See, darkness leads to hopelessness. If I'm to put you in, have any of you ever been in one of those corn mazes? This will tell you where you grew up, but all the prairie kids are going, yeah, yeah. You've probably seen them on TV if you've not been in one. Imagine being in one as the sun dips across the horizon and everything goes pitch black. It's already difficult enough, and then you find yourself in the dark. Darkness leads to hopelessness, but light brings hope. This is why we have sayings like the light at the end of the tunnel. Right? That in the darkness, even this little bit of light can bring great hope. I have a painting to show you that was painted by Rembrandt. I'm not an art connoisseur, but Rembrandt is one that I've spent time with, and I just love his work. This is an earlier piece by him, put together in 1634, and he titled it simply, The Angel Appearing to the Shepherds, a depiction of the story that Sarah read for us. The story of Luke 2 is nothing short of the fulfillment of the promises that Isaiah proclaimed in Isaiah chapter 9. The promises that God made 700 years before are totally and completely filled right there in Luke chapter 2. Notice the parallels between the two, and I'll give you a few things to think about, and we'll move on. In the same region, there were shepherds out in a field keeping watch over their flocks by night, darkness. And so you come back to our original thinking of these shepherds in the dark. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, light. The people who have walked in darkness will see a great light. Suddenly, the shepherd's world is illuminated. The darkness comes to an abrupt end. It's defeated by the light of heaven. And the angel says to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day a Savior." Born. Later, when the shepherds seem a bit stuck, the angels encourage them to go. Go and see. You will find a baby. harkens back to Isaiah 9. Unto you a child will be born. Here comes that child, a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Remember at the end of Isaiah 9, I pointed out that the Lord of hosts says it will be so. He will see it to its completion. That Lord of hosts, the one who Isaiah said will do this, all of a sudden, after the angel has told the good news to the shepherds, the heavens are filled with that host of heaven, of whom this little baby is Lord. The Lord of hosts, who will do it, now has taken on the most humble form. But the hosts are not at a loss to what's happening. And they break out of heaven into earth, and multitudes on multitudes fill the sky, declaring glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace. Peace among those whom he is pleased. That's what it sounds like when light breaks into the darkness. That's what it sounds like when hope rises in places of hopelessness. This is, as the author of O Holy Night said, the thrill of hope. So my invitation to you as we continue in our service, but as you continue now into starting tomorrow what we celebrate as the 12 days of Christmas, I want to invite you to think about a couple of things. First of all, I want to invite you to be honest. I want to invite you tonight, even through the rest of our service, but as you reflect on the things that have been spoken, the things that we've sung, the things that God is stirring in your heart, I want to invite you to what I invited you to at the beginning of the service. I want to invite you to come as you are. I want you to be honest about the darkness. Maybe as you're honest, some of that darkness is personal. You think about the mistakes that you've made or the trouble that you're in. Perhaps as you reflect on it, that darkness is a bit more external. And you just sit back and recognize the wars that plague the earth right now, or the political situations that so quickly overwhelm the state of the world we're in. And I need us, we need to, as we head into Christmas, if we're to receive and to really understand what good news this is, we need to first be honest about the darkness. Having been honest, then I want to invite you to hear. To hear the words of promise, to hear people like Isaiah who speak into darkness that God sees you, that he knows you, and that he has not given up and will not give up on you. That if you stand in need of a Savior today, Christmas reminds us that we have incredibly good news. We have a God who loves to come close, who loves to meet us in the darkness. And when he comes, John tells us, it's like light coming into darkness, and darkness will not overcome it. So no matter how dark the dark is, it doesn't stand a chance in the presence of Jesus. So be honest, and in an honest place, rest, be still, listen, and hear what God would want to say to you. And then as he begins to speak promise, the invitation of Christmas is to receive. Be honest, hear the promises of God, but don't just hear them and write them off, receive them. Receive them. Unto us a child is born, to us a son is given. There's a God who loves you, and who would go to great lengths to to reconcile you with him, to bring you into relationship with him. And the invitation tonight is to receive that invitation, to receive the one who came. And as you receive him, to experience what it is like to have light come into the dark. And so be honest, hear the promises, receive the promises, and having received them, finally, I want to encourage you, and I will pray for you near the end of our service, to rejoice. Friends, enjoy Christmas. Celebrate. Having received and saw light come into the darkness, let us live in the fulfillment of that promise. You're invited to join in the song of heaven and to, like the angels and then quickly after the shepherds, let us rejoice. Let us lift our songs of praise, our songs of declaration. Let it be no secret. Let it not be quiet. Let it not be hidden that Jesus came, that he's changed my life, that the darkness that I lived in isn't dark anymore. Christmas is incredibly good news. And I pray that as you celebrate it with family and with friends, tonight, tomorrow, throughout the next couple of weeks, that the Holy Spirit would be so present and at work in your life, stirring you to the thrill of hope, allowing you to receive and to rejoice. Let me pray. God, thank you today for who you are and for the incredibly good news that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That when we were in trouble and the world was dark, you didn't abandon us or give up on us. But you went to unspeakable lengths to humble yourself and to come right down into the middle of that darkness. God, we invite you to the middle of the darkness. Right here where I stand right now, Jesus, would you come? Like shepherds experienced 2,000 years ago, let us experience the inbreaking of heaven, light come into the darkness. Let our hearts and our lives and our celebrations be at their core and on their essence worship this year. That your glory would be like light to our lives. We pray these things in your name. Amen.